Welcome back, everybody. And of course, there's tons of you out there that get to check out the website, The Valley Outdoors. Where else, Don?
On Facebook.
Facebook as well. Lots of good stuff there. Links, all the connections you can possibly imagine. Click on a state. It'll take you to the DNR site so you can look up hunting, fishing, anything you want. And just really kind of cool. Kind of set up nicely.
Works well.
Yeah, it does. So make sure you check that out. Joining us, good friend of the show, good friend of mine for many, many years, excellent guide, and really, JR, what's happening out in Tonka now? I mean, with this this last week's weather extravaganza is about the best I could put it. I mean, you could almost have an ice NATO if it would have hit the lake. What's going
Absolutely.
On out there?
It's pretty brutal out there. It's not trustable ice by any means. There was a few people fishing the last couple days in a few of the channel areas that got little lakes in them, but there still was a lot of water on the ice, and in those areas there's current, so areas I avoid.
Well, and of course, if you're a more of a novice ice fisherman, you think, oh, it's there's got 2 or 3 days of cold temperatures, it's going to be just fine.
Well, it doesn't operate like that because we got all that snow. You know, if we had 2 inches and then we got 8 to 12 inches of snow, that just insulates the ice. It doesn't, you know, the growing process isn't very good at that point. So it kind of put a halt on it. I mean, it probably did grow a little bit, but not big amounts like it should have. Now, looking at the forecast, this weekend starting obviously tonight, last night was really windy, so that was just blowing sheets around. That wasn't doing much, but this weekend we should be growing ice. I think I'll be walking out sometime next week.
I mean, that's the odd part. I mean, we thought, okay, we got snow on the ground, we're winter, and next thing you know, you got a day of 60-degree temperatures, rain, and then tremendous wind. I mean, that warm wind does a lot to the ice and really makes it difficult to do anything as far as making a solid ice condition. Almost literally from here on out, it's got to be a very cautious scenario when it comes to really making ice in that kind of a setup.
Yeah, we need weather under 19 degrees, and we need very, very little wind and pray for no rain.
So the fishing before everything kind of went south, was there any fishing going on that you had to speak of as far as getting out, doing a little bit?
I got out just north of Stillwater on a smaller lake last weekend. I found 3 to 5 inches, just a little panfish lake. And other than that, the ice kind of just tapers as it comes south. So I have a buddy that guides on Flag Island full-time, and they're already driving up in the islands.
Mm-hmm. Up in Lake of the
you
Woods.
Know, then Red as well, you know, and then you get down to Mille Lacs, and Mille Lacs is kind of a war zone right now because they had ice, and then we got them big west winds, and it blew the sheet all the way to the east side, and I seen reports today from Hunter's Nitty's Point, and they couldn't see out far enough to see where all the ice piled up, and there's tons of open water on the west shore.
So realistically, what it does is it gets to a point, the ice stops at shore, and that ice that's being moved is still going to just pile right up on top of the existing ice. So that could make it almost impossible to drive in any manner as this would freeze and cause a major, kind of, shall we say, blockage.
Yeah, let's hope that doesn't cause any blockage, because I spend a lot of time up on the ice up there, and you know, they plow the best and biggest road out on the lake, and they monitor it really well. And you know, if it's stacked 4 to who knows how high, you know, 2 miles out, that's going to be a lot of work to get through that.
Not fun. Well, and of course they were just, I mean, they weren't letting even people go out and they're walking on the ice.
Nope. I did hear one resort on the southeast corner was allowing walking traffic. Very far, I guess, but they were monitoring as well, and they had things staked out, and I didn't get a full ice report on how thick it was, but I don't know. What the winds and the way the weather's been, ice is not very ideal right now, especially in the metro.
So what do you, go ahead, Don.
Yeah, I was going to say, who monitors the ice and the conditions that so that most people know that it's safe when they're heading up?
So if you watch all the resorts, if you follow them on social media, usually someone from the resort will do a report. Nitty's Point, for example, Justin does all their reports, and he does them pretty frequently. You know, they're liable for having the road and everything, so they gotta really keep track of what's going on, where the cracks are, if things have moved, if a new crack formed. You know, do we got to get a bridge out? You know, there's a lot of operation that goes behind building these ice roads. It's not just get a plow truck and plow. So yeah, they put a lot of work and a lot of effort into it, and so really cool to see that they do that for everyone, so everybody can get out and enjoy the good fishing out there.
And I think the point, Don, is they do self-monitoring, but they have to, because they're literally liable for anything that happens on the ice. So if you're looking at, let's say this weekend's going to be kind of probably the first solid scenario to go out and do some ice fishing. Let's say it's on Tonka. Obviously, they can look you up. We'll get that towards the end of the show. But what would you be doing? I mean, you're going to look at what's
probably going to set tip-ups out and go out with a couple people and make a pretty good spread and kind of figure it out from there. You know, early ice is tough because most of the time you can't get to those spots you really want to fish. So you cover some water and throw a bunch of tip-up spread out. You can kind of pinpoint where little groups of fish are, and you can then drill holes and jig on top of them and try to get them that way. Them fish are still eating pretty heavily, so, you know, a big size sucker minnow on a treble hook probably be my best bet right now.
Pike are aggressive too. That's the big thing.
Yes, 100%.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So you're going to be doing that this weekend?
I'm probably going to head out on Sunday.
Cool.
I got to go truck shopping this weekend.
Truck shopping? So, what happened?
Yeah, I ended up getting in a car accident and totaling my truck out. So
there wasn't a boat on the back, was there?
No, thank goodness, because that's packed away for the year. I was on my way to pick the little one up after work, and young kid had run across the street, and guy in front of me slammed the brakes on, and boom.
That's not good.
Is everybody okay?
Yeah, I'm doing okay. I fractured my collarbone, and my shoulder's kind of jacked up, but other than that, I'm going to the doctor and getting it taken care of.
So which one, your right arm or your left arm?
My left arm, and I'm left-handed.
Oh, man.
Boy, that hook, you're going to really work that hook set on the other side.
You can jig with the right arm.
You have to learn, right?
And you're going to be wearing ice cleats, because if you wipe out, it would not be a comfortable scenario.
Oh, man, I'm not looking forward to that at all.
No.
Oh, man.
Well, geez.
Sorry to hear that.
I'll tell you what, JR, go knock them dead. And where can people find you again? We'll have it on their site, but where can people find you? And
you can find me. You can go on social media, JR Civic. You can personally message me there, or Memories Made Guide Service. And if you do ask for me, Mike Farrell will answer the phone. And we have three guides that run, so just ask for me, and
you're set.
Get something planned.
Fantastic. As always, JR, we certainly appreciate it. And you be careful out there, especially with that busted up body. And be safe. Good luck.
Yeah, thank you.
You bet.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks so much. Appreciate it. And we will be back with more Valley Outdoors right after this. Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors radio show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together we can make a difference. Welcome back, everybody. I have to tell you, the shenanigans off air just never end. Ava, how did you think you did that last...
I struggled to come up with one word, so I used like 10.
How'd that
for
work?
Begin. You may start. Go.
You're good. Let her rip.
Yep. Recording.
Take it away. Go. You're good.
Let's get the show going.
Yes.
Don, chill out. We're having a moment here. We're trying to give her.
We don't have time for a moment.
Yeah, well, we do, but that's okay. Speaking of which, Christmas is a moment.
Yes.
And in every kid's life, that's in a hunting family or in that realm, it's always one of those Peter Billingsley's mornings when you come down the stairs and the Christmas presents are underneath the tree and the only thing you're looking for is that long box. What does it have in it? A Red Ryder BB gun. Or something similar. If you've already graduated from the Red Ryder BB gun, then there's some other things that are out there that are pretty cool that I just happened to pull up from my little research that I did. And it's made by Savage Arms. It's called the Savage Rascal. It is the best, what they're saying is, it's possibly the best beginner gun for kids. In this particular case, obviously, firearm handling is an important aspect. And what do you want to look for when it comes to a kid's gun, Don?
Safety.
Yep. Well, size. So in this particular case, look at size. It shouldn't be too big for them. And there should be able to reach the trigger from how it's wrapped around the handle depth, or the
inside your elbow to your index finger.
Exactly. Yep. Weight shouldn't weigh a lot, obviously, because they need to be able to carry. And less recoil, obviously, in a 22 scenario is always a good way to start.
What does this rifle shoot?
We're going to get to that.
We're
just going through the selection process in general first.
Okay.
Then we go into that. And also, price, obviously, is an important factor. You don't want to pay an arm and a leg for it. So that's key.
Okay.
What are you laughing about? An arm and a leg?
Yeah. Yes.
It's all good. It's all good. So how does this, the Rascal, stand up? All right. So we're dealing with $199. Good price. We're looking at a barrel length 16 inches, 22 caliber, long rifle.
Okay, it's shooting a...
Yep. Magazine capacity of one.
Okay,
that's
safety.
Exactly correct. What's nice to know in this particular case, you do have a lot of room for growth that will fit a larger group of kids, which is nice. So that is a pretty neat deal. It's available in pink for the girls.
Okay.
In this particular case. And really... As a starter gun, you'll find it. It'll be on sale for about $169. So, pretty neat deal.
So, and I'm guessing this is one that you can safely say you probably won't shoot your eye out, because you're not going to be using it down in the basement shooting tin cans like they probably are with their BB guns when they get them.
Exactly.
And you're probably going to have adult supervision when you are using.
Exactly.
This rifle.
And the other thing too is it's bolt action.
Okay,
super easy to load, yep. So it'll slide, literally drop it in, and you can move it forward. You don't have to mess with trying to get it lined up.
What's the stock made of?
It's a nylon plastic type scenario, which makes it lightweight.
Sure.
And economical at the same time. So realistically, it's probably one of the best little rifles out there in the market today. I think it's a pretty neat little deal.
And these are brand new, available from Savage?
It's from Savage. It's called the Savage Rascal. And it's a pretty neat way, just if nothing else, be able to see if your kids like shooting sports, if they accompany you before and they want to get their own. Welcome to the happy Christmas gift. So I think as a whole, I think that's a good way to jump into it.
Cool. Yeah,
that's a cool item. I like it. That's good news because, you know, typically when we do the show in December, we usually come up with our list of holiday gifts for the outdoorsman, and we didn't get a chance to do that this year, so I'm glad you came up with that story.
You know, I'm here to help.
Yeah.
That's my job.
Yeah. It was totally accidental,
I'm a supporting component to the trio that we have here.
Okay.
You're failing miserably, Don.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I tried to give you a plug, you know.
Yeah, well.
What are we talking about next?
Next. It's a story that we had covered a couple weeks ago. We're following up on the Muskie.
Yep.
64-year record
in Minnesota.
And it was a 55-pound Muskie. It was caught the 22nd of November on Mille Lacs. And he recently, just kind of a review, recently this particular angler broke a decades-old record after reeling in the large Muskie. While the fish was caught in late November, local officials have only just confirmed that it is truly a new state record. It is true. Norlin Sprengler caught that on the 22nd of November in a trip to Mille Lacs. And according to the Minnesota press release from the DNR, he was out with two friends when he reeled in the fish around 8 p.m. And the record had been set 64 years ago. That's a long time record, big time. Hit the last spot at about 9 p.m., felt the tap on the end of the line, brought the fish to the boat, and they netted it. Measured 57.75 inches by 29 inches around. And unfortunately, they did try to revive the fish, but it did not make it. But they did get it to a certified scale, and it was eventually officially identified as a record.
New state record.
Yeah, so.
I hope they have it mounted. That'd be a wonderful display somewhere.
Yeah, they are getting it mounted. They dropped it off the taxidermist. And it, my guess is it'll probably make the rounds in several places at the same time.
Sure.
So,
sports shows, things like that.
Yeah, and this is just kind of a weird thing. You know, we all think of fish, there's a record for everything out there.
There
you
is.
You know, every species, it's got records, right? Well, not so much in North Carolina. There's a fisherman in North Carolina caught a large red hind fish in early October.
Never heard of it.
After reviewing the catch, state officials decided they had to make a new record category and award the top spot to the new fish.
What kind of fish is that?
Red hind fish. According to North Carolina record for this fish and the statement from the Division of Marine Fisheries, he caught the fish in early October and only recently determined that it set a new record had been set. There was no fish of that particular species.
Had you ever heard of one before?
Never heard. That's why I was blown away. I'm like, what in the world is this? I come up with the weird stories.
I caught a goby one time up in Canada. I had no idea what it was.
Go to Green Bay once.
Oh, yeah?
Welcome to the gobies. That's one of the key things, though. I'll tell you right now. The goby is one of the reasons that the fish, the walleyes on Green Bay, have not done the same migration they've done in the past. They've changed and starting to change their diet over to gobies, and they're staying more resident on the reefs.
Okay.
And the fish is definitely high in fat content. So you're not finding the same issues you used to have with the alewife and those kind of things on the shore. So
interesting.
Big change in how that fishery takes over. So we'll tell you what, guys. That's a wrap, as they say. And wrapping, and hope everybody has a good Christmas coming up. And yeah, we're looking forward to all the things that come with it. So that is all for us, for Ava, Don, myself. We are the Valley Outdoors. And enjoy the holidays and have fun and be safe. See ya!